On air. Online. On Twitter.
Jennifer Campbell is always on.
Unfiltered, opinionated, and ready to speak her mind at a moment's notice.
This is the Jennifer Campbell Show on 570 News and Rogers TV, Cable 20.
No, there ain't nothing that I gotta prove. You think your words will make me black and blue, but I think I'm pretty with these old boots on. I think it's funny when I drink too much. You try and change me, you can go to hell. 'Cause I don't wanna be nobody else. I like the chip I got in my front teeth, and I got bad tattoos you won't believe. So kick out the jams, kick up the soul, pour another glass of that rock and roll. Turn up the band, find the hole, gonna lose control tonight. What do you want from me?
All right, well, listen, you guys, watch out, because, first of all, I have two new highlighters. Is there anything better than new stationery products, especially the ones you don't have to pay for at work? I went up to the front desk. I was like, I would like some highlighters. And Joyce, our amazing, what is her title? Like, mother of all things, mother of dragons. If you want a little Game of Thrones reference in there, you know, human resources, office manager. I mean, she really does it all. And I said, she said, is there any colors you would like? What? Get to pick my highlighter colors today? I was like, yeah. I mean, I like yellow, and I do like a pink highlighter. Not because, you know, I'm female. Well, maybe, I don't know. You can like pink, can't you? I do. So I got the highlighters I'd like. Polly, what happened in, praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. Something happened in here because it is not 29 degrees.
Oh, is it 28 degrees?
No, it's like, it's tolerable. It's like 22 degrees.
All right, I think all the hot air moved from your room to my room because it's, I find it kind of hot in here today.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Is it? I thought you were going to make a joke about me being full of hot air, which is permissible.
No, that happens at 10 a.m. when Farwell comes in.
You make a joke about him being full of hot air?
Yeah.
Or make a joke about me?
No, him being full of hot air.
Are you guys talking about me behind my back?
No.
On the radio? How would I ever know? So it's going to be a good day is what I'm saying. You know, the temperature's here. Perhaps I can kind of, you know, I can just, my brain can function just a little bit better. We have a busy day today. Tay, did you know it's National Public Sleeping Day? Have you heard about this, Polly?
That's kind of ironic because I didn't sleep very well last night.
Oh.
It was one of those nights.
Uh-oh. So might you, you know, curl up under your desk for a couple hours
this
afternoon?
That's a good idea.
Catch a couple Z's?
Maybe I will.
I mean, that Farwell guy talks a lot. It's, at some point, you need to have a little. No? I'm just kidding. Just kidding. That was me, not Polly. He's not participating. So we want to talk about where you fell asleep. Because some people have some crazy stories about where I'm astounded that people can fall asleep in some of the places they fall asleep. I get nervous when I know people are watching me sleep. It kind of creeps me out. Like even on a plane, I bring a hoodie and I have like a mask or glasses, and I don't really sleep well. But producer James says he's fallen asleep in some interesting places. Have you, Polly?
Yeah, a couple.
Okay, so we're going to talk about that coming up in just a few minutes. And if you have, too, if you've fallen asleep in a odd spot, Jennifer at 570news.com, you can send that to us. A new repurpose center opening up tomorrow with the Mennonite Central Committee launching this new social enterprise. Oh, my gosh, I love a repurpose center. I love those places you go in and, you know, everything old is new again, and you find some funky retro stuff and you save a bunch of money, and it all makes my skirt fly up in the best possible way. So we're going to talk about that. And there was a piece that I read. I thought it was satire. I honestly did. In the New York Times. It was about a week ago, talking about, and it was written by a woman. And I don't think it suggested yoga pants are bad for women. I think it flat out said yoga pants are bad for women. Listen, you can call me what you want. You can take a lot of things away from me. I will die with the yoga pants in my hand for so many reasons. dress them up, dress them down. I'm telling you, they make your butt look good. I think most people would agree that the pants make their... This woman said they do not, that we're wearing them everywhere. I say, why are we still telling women what to wear? Just wear whatever the hell you want. And Ann Kingston, who is always such a great guest, senior writer with Maclean's, wrote a response piece to that, why yoga pants are bad for women. Article. We're going to talk to her at 9:45. So as we know, the third federal budget came down from the Liberals yesterday, and we are going to talk about those key takeaways from Justin Trudeau's gender equality budget yesterday. And joining us to discuss is Tammy Sherrill. She's a professor director at the Laurier Center for Economic Research and Policy Analysis. Good morning to you, Tammy. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Good morning.
Okay, so a lot of articles this morning, yesterday, and as the days led up to the budget, about how this one would be really, really focused on gender equity. And it sure was. I mean, the word gender was in the budget 359 times. So this federal budget for 2018 living up to its expectations.
Definitely. I think what this budget really did was it brought that gender-based analysis, which has been in the background for a really long time, and brought it right up to the forefront and made it a prominent issue in the budget, very visible and certainly a focus for the policies that were brought forward. The gender-based analysis here is really just recognizing that policies affect men and women differently, and we need some accountability here in terms of how we spend our tax dollars. But what the budget also did was tried to think about ways that we can shape policy in ways that move us towards gender equality. So when I was looking at this budget, I was looking for things that are going to be good for the economy, but also good for trying to close those gaps that we see between men and women.
A lot of people called it empowering, that it was a very good thing for women yesterday, that they did a good job with this.
I think overall, yeah. I mean, it's generally a large shift in how we think about budgeting. And that in and of itself, I think, is something that's worth noting and talking about. But there's also just a really long list of policies in this budget. I haven't even put together a full list yet, mm-hmm. of things that will help nudge us towards that gender equity that I think a lot of people are looking for. And, you know, little things that will help bring more women into the labor force and help them balance out work and family.
Because there's the new use it or lose it incentive that allows fathers or non-birth parents to take parental leave, kind of freeing up mom to go to back to work earlier after she has a baby, if that's what she chooses.
Yeah, so this is one of the policies that got a lot of attention. It's the EI parental sharing benefit. And basically, if parents make sure that both of them take some leave time so that both take some time acting as at-home parents, they gain an extra five weeks of benefits from EI. It's not obvious that that's going to be a huge nudge in terms of pushing men towards taking on more caregiving responsibilities, but that's the response they're hoping for. So that in the long run, that's going to free up more time for mom to develop her career.
And we know the studies and the information shows us that, you know, after you take that full year off for a baby, that you are left, you know, kind of significantly at a loss in terms of, you know, continuing that career.
Oh, definitely. I mean, a lot of women have difficulties coming back to the labor market. The job protection that comes with these benefits is really the important part here. We know that once we brought in better job protection, women were more likely to go back to their former employer, and that helps them with continuing that career. But during the time that they were gone, they lose a lot of opportunities in terms of career development. So this is certainly hoping to help even that out between men and women anyways.
You said before the budget came out that you expected to see, you know, an expansion of the working income tax benefit. That's the subsidy for low income earners. Did we see that?
We did. We also rebranded the benefit. It's now going to be called the Canada Worker Benefit. And what it's done is it's offered a modest expansion to the benefit itself. So this offers people a wage subsidy, and it's going to allow people to have a slightly larger subsidy than what they used to get, and allow for people with slightly larger income. So it's a modest expansion of the benefit in and of itself, and hopefully that can work to bring more people into the labor force. It's also, though, introduced an auto-enrollment. So one of the problems that we used to have was that people just didn't sign up for the benefits.
Right.
They did not get the subsidy. And so with auto enrollment via filing your taxes, that should bring a lot more people into the program.
We also saw some interesting things. For example, some of the paper currency that will no longer be available.
I can't say I noticed that one as much.
I was reading this morning. There's $1,000 bills that they're not going to will no longer be accepted as legal tender. I thought that was kind of an interesting thing in the budget yesterday, and the reason why was because I suppose criminal behavior seemed to be the only one who was benefiting from these $1,000 bills.
I imagine that's the case. It's something where very few people need to carry around $1,000 bills. And I think we do much better with our electronic transfers these days.
I've never even seen one. You probably have.
No, I use the electronic version.
Okay, so other things too. PharmaCare, let's talk about that for a few minutes.
So there was no real funding put into PharmaCare, but there was this effort towards thinking about PharmaCare. And so I think that's something that we're going to have to watch for in next year's budget and see where that's moving. We've seen some expansions of this in Ontario already, where we're now covering more young people in terms of their PharmaCare. And maybe this is going to go national. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see what happens there.
What about addressing childcare issues?
So childcare is the one thing where I think people felt there were shortcomings in this budget. When you think about childcare, this is really a huge short-term challenge for parents, but it's women who are taking on the long-term costs of that in terms of how it's affecting their careers. What they did in this budget was they are going to continue with their bilateral agreements and developing those agreements with the provinces, which really flags, the key issue here. It's that childcare provision is really a provincial jurisdiction issue. This isn't, primarily in the domain of the federal jurisdiction. But what they could also do there is try to find ways to more directly subsidize the childcare costs for parents, perhaps working as a tax credit in the tax system or something like that. And that could work towards making childcare more affordable. That is something we did not see in this budget.
We are talking about the takeaways, key takeaways from the budget yesterday. Justin Trudeau's gender equality budget is what some are calling it. And our guest this morning is a professor from Laurier, the Center for Economic Research and Policy Analysis, Tammy Sherrill. What about the funds that they were allotting to address this crisis that we've seen develop over the past 5 years, claiming so many lives with opioids?
I can't say I've been as familiar with that part of the budget. It's clearly a big issue.
Yeah.
I think it's perhaps been a bigger issue in the United States than it has been in Canada, but it's certainly something that we need to address.
Yeah, and I think just watching them even talk about it and include that in a family-focused kind of budget was great. I mean, to be allotting things, to be acknowledging that, to be talking about, how that affects First Nations communities differently, addressing substance abuse. I just really thought that was a good thing.
Mm-hmm, certainly. And I think there's been a few initiatives in that budget that I need to spend more time with, but thinking about our Indigenous population and the supports that they need.
Well, I mean, it's only 367 pages to go through. I mean,
exactly.
gosh, Tammy, what have you been doing all night?
I'm
on page 13 already. So. Listen, I appreciate your time, and I certainly appreciate your expertise when it comes to talking about the key messages here. Thank you so much.
Great. Thank you for having me.
We'll talk again soon. Thanks so much. Bye-bye. Okay, it's falling asleep in public day. When I said to James, let's do this, he said, oh yeah, I have a story. Polly has a story. You certainly do, don't you? Or perhaps it's that person in your family who never shocks you anymore when they fall asleep, mid-dinner or mid-conversation. Where did you fall asleep? Jennifer at 570news.com or give us a call, *570-519-570-2545. I would love to hear these stories from your mouths because you'll tell them much better than I will. It is Fall Asleep in Public Day, National Public Sleeping Day. Where did you drift off? Tell the truth. We'll take your calls next. *570. This is the Jennifer Campbell Show.
When extreme weather hits, count on the 570 Extreme Weather Center, exclusively on 570 News.
Okay, so why do we need to continue to have these conversations about equality? Why do we need to encourage, parenting to be a male-female kind of division? This is a tweet from Mickey. We were just talking about, you know, the gender equality budget. Mickey says, I'm going to assume Mickey is a male. I mean, it's not good to assume. We know what can happen there. But Mickey says, this is a real tweet, you guys. Didn't make it up. If working pregnant women don't want to miss out on employment opportunities while they're on maternity leave, they should have an abortion. It's called Planned Parenthood. Choices, choices. Alternately, they could do what New Zealand PM is doing for her maternity leave, 6 weeks maximum. If a working girl, I believe a working girl is a prostitute, but which I'm in support of, but if a working girl can demonstrate her job as important as prime minister, they also get 6 weeks. Otherwise, a month is sufficient. Get back to work. Oh God, there's so much in here. I don't know where to start. Well, thanks for telling us when we should have abortions. Usually it's people telling us we're not allowed to have abortions. So at least that's a different go around that argument, Mickey. A month is sufficient. Okay. Well, and again, thank you for telling us how long it takes for us to heal from growing a person and pushing that person from forth our loins. But here's an idea, Mickey. I don't know, just came into my head while I was reading your insane tweets. You know, if that's the case, well, if we carry the baby and grow the baby for 9 months, why don't the dudes take off the 9 months and stay home? You know, we put our time in. You can put your time in too. The question now is, do I block Mickey or do I just let the crazy continue? What do I do? Do I block him or do I just... I think I'm going to leave him. I think I'm in a good mood today. I think I'll leave him.
I think this is the first time that they actually tagged me in the tweet,
yeah,
too, you know?
I'm sorry about that, Producer James.
Well, I read it and I was just, okay, don't know how this person exists.
Oh, God.
Anyways.
Yeah. Falling asleep in public. National Public Sleeping Day.
I wanted to fall asleep on Mickey's tweet.
Yeah. So do new moms if they go back after 4 weeks. Yeah. But that's another story. February 28th, go ahead and take a nap. National Public Sleeping Day. Wherever you want. Movie theater, bus, train, any public place that may work for you. But maybe not at your desk during work hours. Although I'm sure that happens a lot.
I've probably dozed off while I'm in there trying to book the next shows.
Have you?
Probably after a night that I couldn't sleep or something like that, I kind of bobbed my head or
a little bit.
But the one place that I've fallen asleep several times is a movie theater.
Really?
Yeah.
It's so loud in there.
Not really.
No?
You got comfy.
Mm-hmm.
It's ever dark.
Since they put those big seats in.
I haven't fell asleep in the VIP theater.
Okay.
Thankfully. Because I pay a lot of money to get those tickets. But I've fallen asleep in a theater before watching the same movie twice.
Oh, okay.
But so yeah, I went to go see Avatar, fell asleep the first time, went to go see it again, and fell asleep again.
Oh, I thought so, you meant you had already seen it, so you just fell asleep the second time. Oh, I loved Avatar.
I don't know what it was. Well, I just fell asleep during both times that I seen. So I said, enough. I'm not going to ever watch it again because I've fallen asleep twice in it.
Blue is a very soothing color.
Could be. And there was a lot of colors in it. And maybe the 3D coming at me was maybe
too much.
I should fall asleep. I don't know. Maybe. Yeah.
Polly, where'd you fall asleep?
I've fallen asleep at the theater a couple of times, but the worst place was driving very briefly for about 10 seconds. I nodded off and there was a curve in the road and I drifted over to the other side of the road. Thank God there was no traffic coming the other way.
You're so lucky to be alive.
Oh,
and that happens.
My God.
They say that is, you know, being tired at the wheel is, you know, as bad for you as being impaired. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing too. Like, you know, that there's so many people on the roads that are exhausted. My mother fell asleep one time driving and with two little kids in the back seat and totaled a car. So it happens to people all the time, which is terrifying. I bet you it wasn't 10 seconds though. I bet you it was like two and you.
It might have been.
You know what I mean? It feels
it wasn't long, but it was enough that I drifted over to the other side of the road for a moment.
I think your subconscious kind of wakes you up a little bit and says, hey, you're driving.
That's right. Hopefully. Well, Polly, mine's similar to yours. And I had to be reminded of it this morning by one of our friends from Ride for Dad, the motorcycle ride we do in June in support of men's health, prostate cancer and men's health issues. And somebody sent me an email and said, Jennifer, remember the time you fell asleep on the back of the Harley? And
I did.
How does that happen?
Well, Kate, here's the thing. I don't fall asleep well in public. If I feel like somebody can look at me, I don't know. It just creeps me out. I'm like, I feel like a little naked by that, you know? So I rarely fall asleep anywhere, like rarely on a plane, but this ride for dad, I was on the back of this Harley that had to cost a fortune. And it's like a lazy boy back there.
Yeah.
Like the woman beside me, her husband had the same model of motorcycle. And she was telling me on road trips, she is reading a book. Like it's, she reads a book. So same as you, Polly, we're going down the road. It's early in the morning. It's maybe 8 o'clock in the morning. It's sunny. It's warm. It's windy. Their tunes were on. I'm on the back of the Harley. And just for a second, I felt, not only did I feel myself fall asleep, I heard my helmet hit the guy's helmet in front of me because I drifted off on the back of a Harley. Danger. So, perhaps if you're going to fall asleep, go with James's theater and not Polly's at the wheel or my passenger on a motorcycle today. Take a little nap. We have a, do you guys love, I love the Restore for Habitat for Humanity. There's it's new to me. It's not new. It's on Timeless. It's Timeless something it's called. It's up off Northfield. Amazing store. There's another store opening with the Mennonite Central Committee. It's a new social enterprise, and it's called the MCC Repurpose Center, and I cannot wait to go there and spend some money, and we're going to hear all about it and what you can go get with this new social enterprise after the news, which is next at 9:30, 570 News.
With all the technology at our disposal, it's a shame that most of it is wasted on nonsense. Download the 570 News app at 570news.com and stay informed.
All right. And thank goodness for my Thelma. The Thelma to my Louise. The Laverne to my Shirley. The Betty to my Wilma. My best friend Tracy, who's been home recovering from an operation. She's been tuning into the show just about every day, which has been great because she's helpful. Timeless Material Company is the name of the store at Northfield and Toman, and it is marvelous. Went in there to look around for some projects that we wanted to do, and we're kind of looking for some really cool, retro, unique stuff, and they definitely have it there. I love the repurposing. I love the recycling. I love giving something a new life, and it always is such a great conversation starter, isn't it? Especially when there's something local. Maybe you find something really interesting. Interesting that, you know, has become of this area, like a sign or something, you know, of a place that you used to visit. They had some beautiful St. Jacob's signs in there and some names of local companies. Anyway, lots of places to kind of do that. It is super trendy to be retro and vintage these days. And getting on that bandwagon for such a great, great reason is the Mennonite Central Committee. They're launching a new social enterprise where bargain shoppers will have another place to explore. The MCC Repurpose Center is going to open tomorrow in Elmira, but this is a shop with a difference, and joining us to talk more about it this morning is Carla Richards. Good morning to you, Carla. Hi.
Good morning, Jennifer. Thanks for having me.
So excited to talk to you. Now, we know when it comes to vintage, we know when it comes to repurposing. I mean, we can go really high end and spend the big bucks sometimes, or perhaps we're looking for something that's a little kind of more of a hunt, a treasure hunt, and something more affordable. So it looks to me like your repurpose center is going to have many things that we can kind of hunt around at that will be a really great deal.
Absolutely. We have 8,500 square feet of retail space for the general public to come and, just as you say, hunt out and see what they can find. It's amazing to see in our startup just the quality of items that we have waiting for people to come and discover.
So this is an interesting thing because here at your repurpose center, it is going to be a pay-by-weight system.
That's right. It's a new retail approach, so people can get a lot more for their dollar. We have three price categories, $1.88 a pound, 88 cents a pound, and $5.88 for our jewelry. But basically, yeah, you come in, you select the items that you want. We've got some sample scales throughout the store that you can kind of see what things weigh, and I think people will be very surprised what they can get. If you're a young mother looking for baby clothes, you can get a lot of baby clothes in a pound.
Oh my gosh. And I remember too that, you know, this the going in there, it was kind of, it was a fun little kind of experience to go into some of the vintage shops and the thrift shops to kind of go through and find some stuff for baby, you know, while you were trying to get out of the house or like you say, you need all of those clothing items. So yeah, what a great place to start because frankly, let's be honest, they tend to soil those quickly. You don't always need those to be brand new.
For sure. And there's all kinds of anything that you can imagine we carry in the store. The donors that select MCC as the charity are certainly extremely generous and give us beautiful items that they no longer wish. And we obviously our stores have them individually priced and available to their customers. But this is we just are blessed with way more than what we can always use in a single location. So the concept of the Repurpose Center is to share those items around with other shops and here at the Repurpose Center.
So, and interesting things happening too with the products that aren't actually being sold. There's more repurposing after the first step there.
For sure. We let our customers come and do the sorting for us, decide the items that they want to purchase. And as I said, our volumes are so high that things are only on the floor for a short amount of time. So if you see it, you definitely need to snatch it up. And things that are coming off the floor, we have a variety of things in place that we will be ensuring as little as possible ends up in landfill. So we'll be doing rag cutting for clothing that doesn't sell or isn't. You know, might have a rip or a stain or a button missing or something, then, you know, we'll make rags and hope our local businesses will support our business and the charity through purchasing those from us. We'll be weaving hand-woven old-fashioned rag rugs for people's homes. We have recycling programs through e-waste and metal recycling and regular kinds of things that you would recycle to at home, but sometimes it just takes a little bit of effort to break down an item far enough that you're able to take off the metal, take off the plastic, take off the glass, and recycle those things properly.
Where are the things coming from, the items that are in to the Repurpose Center? Where do they come from?
Yeah, the beautiful part about this project is it came as a brainwave through the 11 stores that MCC has throughout the province. And the general managers got together and said, we sure get so many items and they're great items, but when the racks are full and the shelves are full, what options do we have? And this concept came out of that to say, why don't we just put all those items together and see if we can't take one more chance at selling them to the public.
And what about the green effect of this? I mean, it's really wonderful to be keeping all of these things out of landfill. I mean, I know I watched a documentary the other day about how much clothing ends up in landfill and how much new clothing we're buying, and how that has increased, you know, exponentially even over the past 10 or 15 years. So really keeping some of these things and reusing them is just really a good thing to do in terms of being green.
Absolutely. We have investigated the environmental impact on some of the textile practices happening. And on our website, you'll see some fun facts about, you know, the amount of money that's saved, the amount of energy that's saved. If people really embrace the idea of not continuing to overconsume like that, but find unique ways to use what already exists. And it's fun both to hunt for those bargains, to see that you can get a really good quality brand name item that just happens to be, you know, your size,
mm-hmm.
right through to one of my coworkers loves to find things and just modify them and make them new. But she has sewing skills I don't have.
It is a bit like a treasure hunt, and you do get a bit of a buzz when you find those amazing kind of, you know, oh gosh, look at this, and a brand that you love, like you said. I've seen a lot of people, the jewelry is interesting because I've seen a lot of things, if you love Pinterest and you love kind of home decor stuff, I've seen a lot of people repurposing jewelry items, you know, vintage, funky jewelry, bright colored things that perhaps we don't want to wear anymore into these amazing art pieces of art, like wind chimes and these little fairy houses, really cute, amazing ideas that you can get when you're on that hunt.
For sure. And there's glass art that I've seen, also people buying little dishes and you know, gluing them together to make fantastic pieces, and just pretty much anyone who's looking for that kind of item, this is a dream.
Carla Richards, so tomorrow, opening in Orillia, 6 Arthur Street, what time can we go and start the hunt?
Yeah, opening in Elmira, yep.
What did I say?
Orillia, but that's okay.
Orillia, like
closer.
Old school. That's old school. I used to be a Georgian Bay girl. Elmira, thank you for that. Orillia is lovely, but it's a little far out of the way. Yes.
Yeah, we're really excited to be in the town of Elmira, and the reception that we've got from this community has just been fantastic. So yes, we are opening at 10 a.m. at 6 Arthur Street North. And we are open late on Thursday, so people can check us out on opening day right through until 8 o'clock at night.
So good to have you on this morning. Thanks for joining us, Carla. Good luck.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye. 9:42, and that'll be a good time, won't it, to go for a little bit of a shopping excursion. And I love the thrift shops so, so much. MCC Thrift Shops across Canada forward $20 million annually to support the Mennonite Central Committee's relief and development and peace work locally and globally. Okay, before we come back, because I'm getting, oh my gosh, Twitter's hard today, Polly. It's hard to be on Twitter today. You know what happened yesterday? I got 3 lovely emails. Lovely. Because you know how people like to complain. But I got 3 lovely ones today. So I suppose that's, is it the yin to the yang here? Okay. So we were talking about the budget. We were talking about gender equality. And it's of no surprise. It's of no surprise when you say the word equality that some of the men, I dare say the insecure ones who feel threatened by many things in their lives, respond quite quickly with why equality is a horrible thing for society. And Twitter has absolutely done that this morning. So let's address a few things here. Equality, nobody, I'm going to do a not all men here. Not all men. Because I am surrounded by some brilliant, brave, wonderful men who aren't threatened or intimidated by a woman's, crazy idea that she should be equal. It's not a pie. Nobody's trying to take away your pie. There's enough to go around. It's not a finite thing, equality. Ryan Broman on Twitter. Okay, now listen up, you guys, because this is how it goes when you get mansplained too. This is a good mansplaining tweet. If you ever wondered what mansplaining was, so when we were talking about child benefits, paternity leave, things like that, Ryan tweets at me, "One problem with your argument is that it's in all of our best interests for mothers to be at home with their newborns, you know, nurturing them so they grow into healthy, stable, and productive adults." Thanks, Ryan. I breastfed a baby. Have you done that? Have you stayed home and nurtured a baby? Have you? Are fathers incapable of nurturing their children? Have you heard of a breast pump? Have you heard of that? A breast pump? You can pump the milk so another person can feed the baby, thus increasing their bonds with their dad, their grandma, their mom. You just mansplained childbirth to me. Yes, we moms know how to nurture. Thank you for that, explaining to us how to grow children into healthy, stable, productive adults. It's too bad nobody did that with you. It's 9:44. We are going to get into the yoga pant controversy that is coming next. Also, I have some good stories about where you guys fell asleep. Wowzer. I thought the back of the Harley was good. Yours also equally as crazy. That's next on 570 News.
Those that share the ice are more than just teammates. They're brothers.
One-timer scores!
The bond is what binds them. The will to win is what drives them. This is where the Kitchener Rangers lay claim. 570 News.
All right, we are back. Thanks for coming back with us on Rogers Television. Cable 20 is where you will see us, or on 570 News. As always, we have a wonderful, wonderful time with you guys, and we enjoy that you choose to spend your time with us, whether that's for the entire day or just a little bit of it. Thank you so much. Jennifer at 570news.com, at Jen Campbell 77 works as well. Star 570 if at any time you would like to get in touch. So the New York Times recently ran a piece an opinion piece that argued that yoga pants are bad for women. The piece suggested that yoga pants are constricting, unforgiving, too sexy, noting they threaten to show every dimple and roll in every woman over 30. And then women, of course, at first I really thought it was a joke when I was reading this story. I really did. I thought it was satire. Sadly, it was not. It was written by senior staff editor Honor Jones. It also blasted companies like Lululemon for charging high prices for such items, and noted that women are wearing yoga pants just to look hot at the gym and not for function, urging folks to embrace wearing baggy sweatpants like in the past. Okay, so needless to say, social media chimed in, and we're very lucky as well that Ann Kingston did too. She's a senior writer at Maclean's and joins us once again. It's always such a pleasure to have you, Ann. Thank you so much for coming on again.
My pleasure, Jennifer.
I really thought it was, I was waiting for it to turn around and to turn into satire as I was reading it.
I agree. I had to read it twice and wondered, you know, is this some sort of sublime satire that I'm not getting, or is the joke on us? Is this sort of a meta commentary on how crazy, you know, judgments towards women are? But nope. It was the real thing.
It was the real thing. And I suppose, and we've seen pieces like this before. I remember one written by a man not so long ago, and you know, again, explaining to us why we shouldn't be wearing some of the things we've been wearing. We've seen many pieces about things women over 30 shouldn't wear, over 40. It's just exhausting.
No, the scolding is never ending, and it is historical. But what struck me about this piece specifically, and which is why I wanted to write about it, a couple of things. One, it was calculated clickbait, right? We know that. But it was really bad clickbait, because it was the arguments were just so specious in it. I also really reacted to the fact that she was using a quasi-feminist argument, saying that women feel pressured to be hot wherever they go, and we shouldn't feel that way. And if you go to the gym, she was advocating women wear sweatpants in the gym, not yoga pants. And I thought, well, wait. The premise is that women should be free to wear whatever they want. Yet at the same time, she's going back to that, as you know, the old historical, you know, this is what women should do. And also based on the assumption that all women think the same way, all women react the same way, which underlies a lot of, you know, what we see when women get, you know, lumped together and judged.
Exactly. And you know, it's funny because when I was talking about it with my friends, a few of the same things that usually we talk about when it's an article telling us what to wear came up. I mean, I love yoga pants for the versatility. And frankly, I think she said, you know, you see every dimple and so on and so forth. I actually think that yoga pants are super flattering, and I wear them sometimes specifically just to make myself feel good.
Well, what is interesting about attacking yoga pants, it occurred to me, and I wear them not all the time, but I do yoga, but I also wear them when I'm just running errands and whatnot, is that they are a garment that is worn by women of all social classes. You can pay, you know, $100 for them at Lululemon. You can also, you know, buy them at Old Navy for $15, and they look pretty much the same. All ages, all socioeconomic classes, and all shapes and sizes. There's sort of this universal female garment. So taking it on right now is kind of interesting.
It is interesting, and you're right. But it does have this kind of pervasive continuance of the idea that, and this one bugs me a lot, that you know, if you're a woman and a feminist, it's your duty to not enjoy, you know, things that are makeup products, beautiful clothes, yoga pants. Like, the two have to be, you can't love feminine things. You can't love being feminine. You can't love being attractive. You can't love those things and still be a champion of women's rights.
Well, this is, you know, this is, think about it. It's 2018 and we are still, we should have disabused that idea. I think it goes back to this idea of man-hating, the man-hating feminist in the plaid shirt,
yeah,
doesn't, you know, shave her arms and is somehow not a woman. This is kind of this rhetoric, and this is absurd. We are so far beyond that, that to even be having this conversation or for it even to be suggested is, we should be asking why.
It absolutely. And I mean, and when you mentioned in your piece, in your response piece, to this New York Times piece, I mean, you bring up a lot of things like this is, it's, I mean, we can joke about it, but to put it in the unfunny context, I mean, you make a list of things that are bad for women. And I mean, the things perhaps we should be discussing on this prime real estate when it comes to the New York Times and Maclean's and any publication, genital mutilation and children being gunned down in schools, things like that.
Well, this is right. And I think, I mean, obviously, paradoxically, we're talking about the yoga pants column. So it succeeded in doing what it, you know, kind of set out mm-hmm. to do. That said, I think that there's another part of this story that we need to be identifying that's more pernicious, which is kind of what we're talking about in terms of mainstream media kind of generally, and papers like the New York Times, which are considered liberal, you know, despite quite frequent evidence to the contrary, that it's a very casual sexism that goes back to this idea that women need to be told what to do, that they enjoy being told what to do, that somehow, you know, there's this, they can't think for themselves,
mm-hmm.
they can't decide.
Yeah, it's pervasive.
You know, how to, so this is just a casual way of, you know, sort of having that out there that needs to be called out, which is why I wrote the column. Because, yeah, there are more important things to be writing about, but you need to kind of understand the larger landscape and mm-hmm. to call out stuff that doesn't seem as pernicious, but actually is.
Yeah. Well, that's why I'm just about to tweet out your column, Anne Kingston, on Twitter, and not the original piece, because yours is far better for women and far better for the conversation. So thanks for having it with us this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank
Enjoy
you.
Your day.
Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. Yeah, okay, now listen, I'm supposed to go back on Twitter because apparently I've misunderstood, which happens a lot. I do get into misunderstandings now. Where is this coming from? I'm sort of trying to answer emails while I'm speaking, which probably is not ever the best idea. Ryan. Okay, Ryan. Okay, Ryan says earlier when we were talking about, here we go. We were talking about gender equality, when we were talking about the budget, when we were talking about moms staying at home with newborns, dads doing that too. So Ryan tweeted to me, I'll read it to you again. Did I misunderstand, Ryan? I apologize. Ryan says, this was in response to Mickey. Go to Twitter, you guys, because it's a fun one this morning, at JenCampbell77. Yes, okay, do that. And then you can read the thread here. Ryan said, one problem with your argument is that it's in all of our best interests for mothers to be at home with their newborns, you know, nurturing them so they grow into healthy, stable, productive adults. So, Ryan, I did misunderstood your tone. I thought you were telling me why I should be the only one staying home. That's not what Ryan was saying. And then I kind of was mean to him on the radio. He responds again, ouch, Jen, I was agreeing with you that forcing women to choose between abortion and working is a dumb idea. Well, yes, thank you. That's better. I'm sorry I misunderstood you, Ryan. Forcing women to choose between abortion and working is a dumb idea. I think parents of any sex should be able to stay at home and nurture their kids without forfeiting any opportunities. Yes, I totally, completely, absolutely agree. And Ryan, I apologize to you for misunderstanding your words that were actually towards Mickey. Oh, Mickey, you're not so fine. You're not so fine. You do not blow my mind. Oh, Mickey, Twitter Mickey. Here's the thing about Twitter, you guys. Here's what I've understood. I'm going to leave, Polly. I promise. This is my final today. If you have a fake name, a fake picture, and you spout off your crazy sexist, racist, misogynist insanity, listen, I will listen and I will respond, but have the balls. I mean, you're pretending you got big balls on Twitter. So then just use your real name. I mean, if you really, truly believe in the crap that's coming out of your keyboard, use your real name. Be brave. Ask a woman. She'll show you how. Farwell's next. 570 News.